Well, we've told the baseball story, haven't we?
Well, it's quite a story that Bill Rawlings has from the time his dad took him out in 1940 to see Dizzy Dean pitch and what he's done for the city of Tulsa, not just baseball, but all around, all his other building projects that Bill has done. Because he's a humble man, he hasn't mentioned the other building projects where he's helped people. I grew up out in the country, and those rural water lines are really important.
Yes, they are.
Even when I was a kid growing up in the late 50s, we had to haul water in from town for our drinking water. Yeah. And we would use pond water for the cattle and the farm, but we would have to bring our drinking water out. So he and his rural water work is quite a boon to rural water districts. To people, too. Yeah. So anyway, he just didn't own the drillers. He's community pride, his leadership, and his thinking has really helped the entire Northeast Oklahoma. I'm glad he's a voice of Oklahoma.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Thanks. I appreciate that.
And what a better place could it be to interview Bill Rawlings than just a few feet from home plate at Driller Stadium.
My excitement tonight as a city councilor at Spalpa is going to be not quite as exciting.
And you're still serving. Serving the public. As you look out here, is there any remembrance that might have?
Yeah, I can remember sitting up in the new stadium upstairs in the press box and us hitting balls over into the lot, which used to be a Safeway store over there. Mm-hmm. This was a thrill, you know. I thought that all of my headaches with baseball had ended. It turned out that there were still headaches to go with it.
Wayne, can you name some players that came through this ballpark, Driller Stadium, that went on to the majors?
Well, the ones that became big stars that everyone in the country would know, one was Billy Sample, who was a really good utility player that played for many years, and he became one of the first athletes to join the MLB radio and television network as an announcer. Very affluent young man, and his mother still lives here in Tulsa. Another, of course, was Juan Gonzalez. He was 19 years old when he came here, and he won two American League Most Valuable Player awards with the Texas Rangers. Of course, Sammy Sosa, when he was here, of course, his records in the majors might have been tainted by the steroids. However, when he was here in 1989, we drew the largest crowd ever for a ball game here for the Drillers of over 16,000 opening day. People were lined up out in the outfield. They were on the warning track. He hit a ball that went flying and bounced off the wall, and he got an inside-the-park home run, and there was 16,000 people going crazy. Several pitchers in town, Dave Righetti, played here and, of course, went on to set the record for 21 strikeouts in a game and then became a top star with the major leagues in pitching. He's one of the reasons the San Francisco Giants have been so good.
He's the pitching coach.
Because he's the pitching coach for the Giants. He's from the San Francisco area. Another was Kenny Rogers that pitched for many years in the major leagues, pitched a perfect game for the Rangers.
One of the announcers right now went to school up at Yale.
Oh, yeah, Ron Darling.
Ron Darling.
In 81, when they had the player strike in midseason for a few weeks, the draft was held, and Ron Darling was selected by the Rangers, sent here to Tulsa. And the Tulsa game where Ron Darling pitched was on national cable TV, and several of the Ranger officials came here for that game because they weren't playing. Don Zimmer was here. The owners of the Rangers were here to see Ron Darling pitch for Tulsa, and he had many great years.
And he still announces.
Yeah, he still does things for the Major League Baseball Network. Of course, Ivan Rodriguez maybe was the best of them all. He was 19 years old, and I remember seeing him. He would catch a pitch still in his squatting position and throw out runners at first base. He wouldn't even stand up or move his feet. Yeah. He was that good.
He was that active for all 12, 15 years he played.
He is amazing.
He just retired.
And he'll probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer sometime, I think 2017, he'll be eligible. We've had a lot of players that went on to be big stars. Sometimes it irked me a little bit when they would get up to the Rangers, and then the Rangers would sell them off to somebody and get a crummy player for them. It used to hack me off.
Corbett did that a lot with pitchers because he had excellent pitchers, and he'd trade them off. But they were hurting money-wise.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a player named Walt Terrell that was a very good pitcher for Tulsa and became a very good pitcher in the major leagues. He pitched maybe 10, 12 years and averaged like 12, 15 wins a year, which is very good. He traded both him and Darling to the Mets for Lee Mazzilli. At that time, his career was about over, but he was a handsome man, mm-hmm. and they would have Lee Mazzilli poster day with no shirt on,
yep.
and all the women would come, and they would sell tickets to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of hacked me off.
Well, that's a great legacy of the names you just named in this ballpark.
Yeah, in this ballpark.
That Bill Rawlings built.
That's right.
We talk about the Yankees, the house that Ruth built.
Yeah.
This is the house that Bill Rawlings
yeah.
built.
That's right.
It is.
And I remember seeing there was a player for Shreveport, Rob Deer, who was a tremendous hitter. He either hit it over the fence or he missed it 5 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was one of those kind of guys. He hit one that went halfway up to the Safeway store in the street,
yeah.
hit the street and bounced away and rolled away over the hill. I was sitting in right field watching it, and another knucklehead friend of mine, we went out and measured it. We got a tape measure one day. We went out and measured it. It was like 493 feet, and that was the longest home run ever hit here in Driller Stadium. This is a great place, still clean and nice, fan-friendly. All my children, first ball game was right here. In fact, my first child was almost born here. We came out to a game, and it was so hot, my wife started hyperventilating and all this, and so Joe Pressrin, who was the general manager, saw this, quickly got her and brought her into the air conditioning.
Joe did a good job.
Oh, Joe was an amazing man. He brought her into the office, into the air conditioning, and she calmed down and was okay. And then a month later, my daughter was born. So I don't know. I don't know if we ever had a child born here, but I was trying for it,
Bill. They're pretty close, I'll
tell
you. You know, he names names and so forth. Bill, as an owner, did you ever get around the players or talk to them and visit with them?
Sure. Yeah.
Anyone that stood out as a personality?
Joe Russell was a
really friendly guy.
Very friendly guy. And, you know, Billy Sample, all the ones he talked about.
Right. So you come around and visit with them.
Well, I go to the clubhouse nearly all the time when I was here. Of course, I still was working and I was gone some. But basically, yeah,
and
the
you,
old clubhouse was in the old building down there.
But the fact was, it wasn't so much as an owner that you came in. You came as a baseball
I
mind. You just
baseball.
Loved to be around players
and
in the game.
And Roy did, too.
Would he come down and visit with the players?
Yeah. He'd come down.
Roy Clark, in August of 1977, in those days, you remember, he was the host for the Tonight Show when Johnny Carson would take off.
Right.
And he did that, what, 10, 12 times a year? The first time in August of 77, he wore a Tulsa Driller uniform as the host of the Tonight Show. Wore the hat and the Driller top. He was so excited about owning a ball club.
Yeah.
And if you remember, that kind of started the phase of these celebrities owning minor league ball teams. David Letterman, Bill Murray, several people like that, they still own some minor league baseball teams. But I think he's the first celebrity to do that.
And, you know, we should point out that as the Drillers opened this season, 2012, Roy Clark was there to throw out the first pitch.
I was in Shreveport delivering kids.
That's good. I was there that night when I saw Roy do that. I'm sure most of the fans had no idea how much he meant to baseball in this town.
He's as Shriner as I am. We're both Shriners. Heart's in the right place.
Thank you, Bill, for giving this time. I appreciate it very much. We all respected you as I was a broadcaster and saw what you were doing. We respected you. Even now, the full story, and the story that you didn't tell before, but you've now told, I'm sure I'm now speaking for Tulsa County and beyond to say thank you, Bill, for what you've done.
Appreciate it, John. Nobody knew the story that I told, and I had no intentions of telling it. I was going to tell it to Wayne because he had done the two books, but there's no reason to degrade or it's just something that happened.
Right.
The biggest mistake of all of it, I'd give anything if I could change, was I would like to have not got out of the baseball business and stayed with the Drillers and continued on, because right now would be very, very satisfying to run them and to manage them. You've got the facilities and all that. I'd like to do that. And again, there's a lot of difference in the money that we spent and the money it's worth today, because there is money involved in it today, but we never thought about the money.
But still in your soul, you say, you know what, I'd kind of like to open
it
again.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Wayne, for your input.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for the historian that you've become in baseball and the books you've written. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, John.
You bet.